Blog Talk Radio.
Fantastic Halloween. I know we did here on the Big Island of Hawaii. I'm sure Syracuse was very similar weather, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
what's
of course.
Mike?
Well, we're enjoying, 85 and sunny. Well, we're thinking about 85 and sunny. Well, it's 40 and sunny.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. At least it's sunny.
But Halloween was awesome. The worst thing about Halloween in Syracuse is that the kids generally have to wear their winter coats, so their costumes kind of get covered up. But this year it was actually pretty nice yesterday, so...
Yeah.
And plus, Haley
was
a Viking,
kid.
So the Vikings wear skins, and she was well adorned for the cold.
So, for those of you who don't know, Mike has two daughters, Haley and Sophia, and they went as a Viking and a ninja, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. No princesses in the Mastrolio household this year.
Haley was Cinderella one time, so I don't think Sophia's ever been down with the princess thing.
Yeah.
She's been
that's good, though.
Various ninjas.
Including the turtle variety?
No, she was like a green Power Ranger looking ninja a couple of years ago. This year she was like the Huntress, which is sort of like the Hunger Games girl, except she had a sword strapped to her back. So it was a mix between a ninja and a bow wielding assassin.
Love it. That's good. All right. Before we go too much farther, I just want to remind you that we are brought to you in part by Matt Govendo. For professional financial advice regarding retirement planning, investments, and life insurance, contact Matt Govendo today and receive your complimentary planning analysis. Call Matt at 315-671-1864, and he'll help you get ready for your financial future. And, of course, if you'd like to join the conversation on our show, you can call us, area code 347-637-2812, and you'll get right through. There's never a line, really. All right, so some important things happened in the National Football League this week, including a game on Thursday night, which wasn't entirely competitive, I don't think.
I was going to say, that wasn't a game. That was a slaughter.
Yeah, it was. And I was talking off air with Mike about it, and I've got a friend of mine at work, and he does one of these, for entertainment only pick sheets and all this stuff, and he was kind of looking for his five games that he wanted to pick, and he had one of them was, Miami at New England, and New England giving 8 points, and he said, I don't know, and I'm like, take those points and run. It's a gift. It's a gift that it's not 10. Yeah. And that
yeah,
worked
you
could have
named your score there, I guess. One of my very good friends that I work with is a Miami fan, and going into the matchup, he was a little excited, and he and his brother are both Miami fans, and apparently they went back and forth, and the conversation kind of was, well, we're going to find out what we are this week, and, if we can keep it close, it'll be a moral victory, and no moral victories on Thursday night.
None to be had. And the thing of it is, I don't know that you can really figure out who you are by playing the Patriots right now. I just don't. The Patriots are... just watching football every week, they're just that much further ahead than everyone else. And, it doesn't matter who they play. Not to say that they've played extremely good talent yet. I mean, I don't know. The one game I guess you really would be looking forward to this year would have been that they've already played would have been the Dallas game. And they didn't, they had no Tony Romo and no Dez Bryant. So that didn't help out to see really, if anyone could push the Patriots. And so far, no one's come close to it. I think that
well,
the
going into the season, they've played the Steelers. They've played the Colts.
Right.
Their schedule on paper preseason actually looks pretty difficult. Now, the Colts aren't what we thought the Colts would be.
The Patriots, the Steelers didn't have two of their big weapons.
Right.
You know, no Le'Veon Bell, no Martavis Bryant. You know, again, same thing with the Cowboys. So they've benefited somewhat from the way the schedule has fallen for them. Not necessarily the fact that, I mean, yeah, Pittsburgh's a good team. You know, Dallas with Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, that's a good team. Unfortunately, they haven't had to play those teams, but they played the Jets. They beat the Jets. I think, well, that was pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and actually, all of those games were one touchdown. All three of those games were one touchdown
yeah.
games.
No, not Dallas. Dallas wasn't, but.
No, no, I meant the Colts, Pittsburgh, and
the Jets
were all, they won by seven.
Right.
You know, so I've heard sort of the argument that they haven't really played anybody. And I'll use the same argument I used last week when I talked about Carolina. And when you haven't really played anybody, but you're undefeated, you're clearly better than all of those average-ish
right.
teams that you've played. So it
right.
means you're really good.
Who do you want them to play?
And so, you know. Like,
do you want them to play the 1993 Dallas Cowboys? Do you want them to play the 2003 New England Patriots? Who are they supposed to play?
I would like to see both those games. I would pay to see those. You know, I was listening to one of the sports prognosticators talk this week, and he made a great point about New England. And essentially, a lot of teams will try to fit players to their system, and sort of force players to do the things that they want them to do within their system. And New England takes the players they have and adjusts their system to get the most out of the guys they have. And you look at LeGarrette Blount running the ball. Deion Lewis gets very few carries. They always throw him the ball because he's more effective doing that. Like, they just use these guys in ways that they're meant to be used instead of going, well, this is what we like to do with our running back. So that's what you're going to have to do if you want to play for us.
Right. Well, that leads back to Bill Belichick, and we're saying, yeah, exactly. You've got every other coach in the league, every other team in the league. Well, this is our system that we run, and we're trying to find players that fit that.
Yep.
Bill Belichick says, I want to find players who are talented football players who love to play football and are responsible about their job, and then it's my job as the coach to figure out the best way to design an offense around them. And what's really brilliant about that is that he's not an offensive guy. That's not his background. He's a defensive coach, but you know, he's able to do these types of things and to facilitate these types of things for not only his players but his coordinators. I mean, you look at the fact that his coordinators have gone on to jobs, and really none of them have been very successful without him.
Yep. McDaniels,
I mean,
left, got a head coaching
yeah.
gig, did poorly, although he did get to the playoffs with Tebow, so he had that, and then came back. And I'd welcomed him back as the offensive coordinator. I was so happy to see him come back because he fits
sure.
the system so well. And he's a great coordinator.
Absolutely. Especially
but, you know,
Patriots.
They're the team's a pleasure to root for because they do things the right way other than
right.
some of the things they don't do the right way. But that is what it is. That's just if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying as far as I'm concerned.
To some degree, for sure. I mean, it gets a little frustrating for other fans. It's just like, I mean, you're so good. Anyway, you're better than our team anyway, and now you're just going to go out and you're gonna bug our locker room and deflate the footballs. And
they did not bug any locker
hands.
Rooms. That's
okay.
Now that's just conjecture.
So here's the thing. Yeah, it is just conjecture. Conjecture to the point where the NFL is sweeping the visitor locker room every week, apparently.
But they haven't found anything. so a question regarding the Patriots is, how is it nobody can stop Tom Brady on 3rd and 4th and 1? From getting that quarterback sneak for 1 yard. And how come everybody else doesn't do that? Like,
I don't know why they would ever punt with 1 yard. I don't care if you're on your own 20 and it's 3rd and 1. Quarterback sneak.
He literally gets it every time. Every time he gets it.
It's funny. Had this conversation watching the game on Thursday at work. I said, I think he's 101 for the last 102 attempts on that.
I don't remember him ever not making it.
You
know what the play is. They go up, they line up as quick as they can, they snap it. Everybody on the team's on the same page. They know it's 3rd and 1, and that's what they're going to do. So they get to the line ahead of you. The center submarines your tackle, and Brady just climbs onto his back and gets the yard every time.
Well, that's funny. That's what I said. Someone says, well, I don't see where Brady is in the pile. I'm like, just look for the center. He's laying on his back.
Yeah.
That's where he is, laying on the center's back. He's like pasted. He's pasted to the center's back, and he just falls forward with him. It's great. And you know, people are like, oh, it's a quarterback sneak. It is. I don't know if that's not the most unstoppable play in football right now. Is Tom Brady quarterback sneak? You can't stop it.
Well, I always thoroughly enjoy it. You know, and it's, like I said, they're just a pleasure of a team to work because they find ways to win games. They get in all these big games every year, and the games that they're playing against the other big teams are usually primetime games, and there's some hype to them, and they always show up. So it's a pleasure to root for them. I'm sure you felt the same way about the Cowboys in years past with that Aikman, you know, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irving squad.
Yeah, I mean, I used to laugh at other fans. Like, oh, we're going to beat the Cowboys this week. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yep. So enough about the Thursday night destruction that they laid upon the Dolphins. There's other games to talk about this week that might be competitive. What else do you like this week?
We'll get to those. Right now, just to let you know, if you're not aware of it, over across the pond in England, we've got the Detroit Lions and Kansas City Chiefs going at it. This is the last game in London, kind of thankfully for me, because for me, these games start at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's not ideal. But it is fun. I do like the fact that they're playing games over there. I don't know that I love, you know, playing three
Alex
games
Smith
over there.
Alex Smith has a 49-yard rushing touchdown? I need video evidence.
Oh no! It was. I seem to recall him having a big run as I was turning on the TV this morning when I woke up, having a big run down the sideline. I didn't know that it went for a touchdown though. But
yeah.
No.
Well, I guess he has a touchdown run and he has a 49-yard run, and I just assumed
he has a 49-yard. They're not the same one. No. He had a 49-yard run, and on the same drive, I believe he ran for like a 7 or 8 yard touchdown run. But really great run that 49-yard run, as I recall, was really good.
How bad is Detroit?
Oh, they're horrible. They're horrible.
They made the playoffs last year. It's like, it's just
I thought
bad.
Chicago was going to be the worst team in that division. And they're actually not so bad as I thought
they would
be.
At least they're fighting.
Right. And I picked Detroit to go back to the playoffs. And I, you know, when I did it, I was like, man, I don't know. Some of these teams aren't going to make the playoffs. And it just seems like Detroit's that team. But I picked them anyway because I just felt like, you know, they didn't lose that much when they lost Sue and Fairley. But, man, apparently they lost everything when they lost Sue and Fairley.
There's got to be a point in this season where we get to repick our playoffs because I don't know if any of the teams we pick to make it are even going to be there.
We're going to do that next week because we're going to go over what has gone right, what's gone wrong, and then we're going to repick. But, I mean, look, it's the third quarter's just started. They've given up 24 points to the Chiefs.
Yep.
And
the
Chiefs
longest pass completion the Chiefs have is 23 yards, so it's not like they're killing them with downfield throws, which they won't do. They only have 10 completions for 79 yards.
Right.
Their best offensive players, you know, out with an ACL, and somehow they've let Alex Smith rush for 68 yards. It doesn't make any sense.
Charkhandrick West has gotten free. Look, here goes Charkhandrick West. They stopped for 2 yards, but hey, it was first down. Anyway, so we're not gonna do play by play. What about some injury news? I'll give you that. How's that? Not playing today. Carlos Hyde, that's a big one for fantasy. Obviously, he's a guy who's been pretty good for the Niners. Marcus Mariota will miss his second consecutive game with that MCL sprain. Victor Cruz has yet to make his season debut. He will not do that today against the Saints. And Joseph Randall for the Cowboys is out. I don't know how much that matters, but he's out with a
bad
injury.
Seems like McFadden was pretty good in his stead last week.
29 carries, 152 yards, and really, honestly, should have had 2 touchdowns because he was robbed of that touchdown on that offensive pass interference, which was, by the way, not offensive pass interference. It wasn't.
I've always been a McFadden fan. I feel like his only real weakness is the fact that he hasn't been able to stay on the field with injury, but when he's played, he's always been good. Good receiving out of the backfield. He's really fast. He's elusive. He usually averages, you know, 4+ yards per carry. When he gets touches, he's good. He's just not been able to stay on the field. So I actually thought going into the season, they really made a great move to pick him up.
As long as they stay healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Running back depth is always important because your running back is going to get dinged up. They, you know, a guy carrying the ball 25 times a game, there's going to be some point in the season where he misses quarters or games, you know.
Series, whatever it is. But the thing is, too, I think what facilitated his ability to do so, to run as well as he did, is the fact that the offensive line played their best game of the year as far as the running game goes. They've been excellent in pass protection all year long. All year long. And I think that's one of Brandon Whedon's downfalls is he wasn't comfortable with the amount of time that he had. I think he forced some throws that he didn't need to force early, but not to break down Whedon. But I think they played their best game by far in the passing, in the run game as a unit. So
I've got my wife dancing at me, so I'm struggling.
Yeah, I got that. So we do a Google Hangout during the show, so now I can see Sue dancing behind Mike. It's fun.
Unfortunately, I'm distracted.
So, all right. So a couple of players that we're still not sure if they're going to play: Antonio Gates, Anquan Boldin, Vincent Jackson. These could be big for your fantasy team. But two guys, two major stars. There's no other way to say it. Two of the best players in the league will be making their returns this week after suffering early season injuries. That would be Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, a game that we're going to break down with Alan Zlotarczynski later, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. And one Desmond Demon Bryant of the Dallas Cowboys will make his
return. Now you're just making stuff up. That's not really his name.
Oh, no, it is for sure. Yeah, Desmond Demon Bryant.
Okay, I don't have further comment there. I think he's going to struggle this week, to be perfectly honest with you.
I do not. Here's the thing. As a fantasy owner, he's one of those players that if he's playing, you have to play him.
Yep.
You have to play him. That's just the way it is.
Especially since you've probably stashed him on your bench for like 5 or 6 weeks.
Ever since you dropped him, I put him on my bench.
Yeah, and you need to get your value, you know?
Yes, I mean, you've carried this guy. And the thing is, Dez, like I said to someone else, he's one of the, you know, people, well, he was limited in practice. I'm like, look, he's one of those guys who is as good a player as there is in the NFL, and I don't know how much practice he needs. Now, the only thing you're concerned about is chemistry with
Metcalf.
Because they've only thrown together since Wednesday. That's the only so that's the only thing you're really concerned about. But still, I think he finds a way to get open. Castle's a professional. It's not like he's some rookie. He'll be looking for Dez Bryant. And so there you go. Now,
we've got Alex Smith out here looking like Michael Vick today.
They can't tackle him.
Detroit should be ashamed of themselves right now.
They really should. It's awful. All right, so there's that. Also, other news, while Dez was gone, he picked up a monkey.
On his back, like heroin addiction?
No, he owns a rhesus monkey now.
Oh, okay.
As a pet. The monkey's name is Dallas.
there's some kind of cliche to be had here that Dallas is a monkey on Dez Bryant's back, but I can't.
Well, he might as well put him on his back. He's going to have to carry him for 3 games. How's that?
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking some more real fantasy advice. We'll get into some guys who you should be looking at to add to your team if you've got some injury issues. Say you got Vincent Jackson and you're just like, man, I can't wait till this guy plays again. Okay, so we're going to go do that, and then when we come back, fantasy hot or not. All right, right after this on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Zlotarczynski brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings. Get you ready for the upcoming weekend and college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com. to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com is your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
FanUp Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the Edge, FanUpNetwork.com.
Atlanta Rhythm Section with Spooky to continue our Halloween-themed music selection. Yeah, man. What's going on?
Well, I'm about to turn this football game off because it's just distracting me with its awfulness.
It really is bad. Oh. It really is bad.
Speaking of distractions, how about the tweet from the Falcons cheerleaders on ESPN's homepage? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what? Wait, huh? Right on the front page?
Oh, I figured when I said something and I got that look on your face, you saw what I was talking about. Go to the NFL homepage on ESPN.com and scroll down the right side a bit, and you'll see that the Falcons cheerleaders are still in a Halloween mood.
Are they?
They are.
Like, slutty cheerleaders?
I am also in a Halloween mood now.
Captain America, good Lord.
I've become a larger Julio Jones fan immediately.
That is the smallest Captain America costume I've ever seen.
It's perfect. She doesn't even have a shield. Also well thought out.
Oh, man. That is great. Good stuff. I love the holidays. So Halloween's over. So the next big one is Thanksgiving, which obviously, well, of course you got Veterans Day, but that's not a huge holiday, but we do appreciate our veterans, our service members. Alex Smith just got rocked and delivered the pass to Kelsey. Crazy. So the next one after that's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, of course, a big football day. We're excited for that, but that's still 3 or 4 weeks away. So
that's the best holiday of the year. It's centered around food, not like candy or presents or Valentine's.
Right. Absolutely.
That's
and
a holiday.
I get to get up, watch football, eat a bunch of food, take a nap. Yeah, it's great.
Tryptophan overdose.
Oh, holy crud. I'm going to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, well, see, when I was a kid, I thought it was a dumb holiday. And then as you grow up, you go, what was I thinking?
This is the best.
Yeah, there's football and food.
They have a freaking parade for this thing, okay? A nationally
it's
televised.
The worst thing about the day.
Right?
I like the parade, and it's still not even close to the highlights.
It's just the appetizer, which is why it's on at 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is, 12 o'clock, whatever it is. It's awesome. It's what a great day. Oh, what a great day. But anyway, that's days and days and days from now. What is it, the 26th? So we're 25 days from Thanksgiving. Good Lord. Man, it's close. All right, so fantasy hot or not. Mike and I are going to give you some players that we really think you should be looking to add to your team if you still can. Go ahead, Mike. What's your first fantasy hot or not guy?
Okay, so as I've been trying to keep it a theme, I try to talk about guys that there might actually be a chance for you to pick up. Because talking about, you know, Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, although there's comments to be made about them, doesn't necessarily give you any insight that, you know, you can take advantage of. Oakland's the worst team in the league versus the pass. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets Oakland. Ryan Fitzpatrick is available in many, many, many leagues.
Many.
And the Jets quarterback does have some receivers he can throw to. Oakland is on paper strong against the run, but that's just further evidence of how bad they are against the pass because you don't even have to bother to try to run against them. So I really, really like Fitzpatrick a lot this week. I think he could easily have 250, 300 yards, two or three touchdowns. And Brandon Marshall will probably piggyback right along with that and have a big game as well.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that. for a couple of reasons, despite the fact that they are so bad against the pass and all that stuff, I kind of like Oakland as a sneaky – well, we'll get into that. Anyway, so I think that's actually a pretty good one. I'm looking at if you were able to add Stephon Diggs from the Minnesota Vikings already, good on you. I did it last week. You did. I did it last week, and I started him, and he had a great game. He's really kind of emerging as a player that you really kind of almost have to have. And I'm trying to check and see right now while I'm on the air, because I don't do research, because why not? So Stephon Diggs, just to kind of give you an idea here, he and in limited action, 58.3 fan points. I'm trying to figure out where he is, how much he's owned. They're not giving me the percentage, but he's not.
He's available in 35% of ESPN.com
right,
leagues.
So there you go. So that's a decent chance to go out. If you're not looking at your waiver wire to get this guy, and I'm talking about even if you think you've got good receivers, this might be a guy you want to look at. Okay, because I think going forward, he's going to be the guy there that Teddy Bridgewater ends up having the most connections with, especially if you're in like a PPR league or something like that. Stephon Diggs is a guy to look at there.
So just some further backup from Matthew Berry's Love or Hate column.
Okay.
Leading the team in targets and yards per target during the past three games.
That's it.
He has one out of – and against the Bears, particularly this week, one out of every 6.7 receptions by a wideout against the Bears has resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah,
so
Stephon
Diggs, not only this week, you know, against the Bears, but going forward, looks pretty good.
Absolutely. Stephon Diggs is a big play this week. He was a big play last week, and I think he's a big play going forward for the season. So if you're in one of those 35% of leagues, get Stephon Diggs on your team, and he could help you get to a championship. Now, he's not going to be your best player, but he could help you get to a championship.
You can certainly fill in at your flex spot all year if you want him to.
Absolutely. That's the type of player that wins fantasy leagues, is picking up this guy that nobody heard of at the beginning of the year who starts to turn it on mid-season. You're the guy that goes out and gets him. You put him in your lineup, and you win your league.
Yeah, he's C.J. Anderson. You know, last year's C.J. Anderson, you know?
Right.
Flash in the pan, but guess what? If you had him last year, you made it far on his back because he was so good.
Right. And not for nothing.
So in the same game, talking about a guy I dislike, is the opposite quarterback, David Carr, who I really like generally, but the Jets' pass defense is really, really good.
It's just too good.
You just don't want to throw into Revis and Cromartie, and their two best weapons through the air are Cooper and Crabtree, who are just going to get blanketed by those two corners all day, and I think Oakland's pass offense really struggles. So do not like David Carr this week.
For sure. I agree completely with that. Well, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Okay, so I think that's a good idea. If you have David Carr, if he's been your starter, you probably want to stash him today because you don't want to run him up against that. Maybe he goes out there and has a great day, but you can't count on that kind of thing when he's going up against the number one defense in the league. Then that's kind of where we're at with this thing. It's like, you know, you're looking for someone who's going to absolutely get you points because you're trying to win your game. Here's one that I like, a running back, if you're able to get him. I know he's actually not available in a ton of leagues anymore, I don't think. Well, maybe he is. David Johnson from Cleveland. I'm from Arizona, rather, against Cleveland today. Cleveland's not very good against the run. We've talked about that a lot. Cleveland's not good against the run. If you've got the ability to pick up a running back who's going to get a lot of run against a team like Cleveland, you pick him up. Now, Chris Johnson's a starter, but David Johnson comes in, and he gets a lot of his yards through the air. So especially if you're in a PPR league or something like that, he can get four or five receptions. He can put up 60 or 70 yards, might get a touchdown there, maybe another 30 yards on the ground. He's a good back. If you need like a running back two or a flex play, David Johnson could be a big play today. I think he could have a really good game against the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, start your Arizona running backs, I guess, is the theme, because I really like Chris Johnson too. It's tough with running backs because as much as I'd like to pick on guys who you might have a chance to pick up, it'd be very rare that there'd be a running back that was worthwhile that it was available to pick up. More of a who do I start this week? And
not a lot of long-term
at the beginning
solutions.
Of the season, we talked about defenses at the beginning of the season and how you might want to stream your defense as an option, you know, to start the defense that's playing against the offense that's mistake prone and sort of gives up points to a defense. If you can start the running back that plays against Cleveland every week, that's probably the best running back in football. Like, if you had the guy versus Cleveland every week, you'd have the number one running back in football.
Yeah, you definitely would have a really good shot every week of scoring points. So if you've got like a, say it's a, like, I guess you'd be streaming your running back two at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got your one guy who like, okay, this guy's pretty good, but my other running backs are just awful. So yeah, if you can stream that next guy, that's a really good play. Just really kind of off topic for a second. I just saw this. That was the worst pass I've seen in a long time. I just saw this come up on the screen, and I remembered it now. Detroit fired Joe Lombardi last week and replaced him with a guy, an offensive coordinator named Jim Bob Cooter, by the way.
Yeah. The
Jim
name.
Bob
Cooter. He's all NFL name team.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, so tight ends this week.
Tight end this week, there's a couple. First of all, if you haven't gotten on the Gary Barnage train yet,
oh my God,
like,
it's gone. You're out of it.
Yeah. If he's available in your league, well, first of all, you play fantasy with some people that aren't paying attention to the NFL.
Oh my God.
But if he's available in your league and you haven't picked him up yet, like, go do it immediately.
Oh my gosh. I don't care who you have. I don't care who you have. Unless you have Gronkowski, pick up Barnage.
Yep. But the guy that is parallel to him, we were talking about it off the air, is Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed's available in 50% of ESPN leagues, and Jordan Reed is on pace to have a better season this year than Gronkowski had last year. And he's available in half of the leagues.
He's literally the best tight end in fantasy football right now is Jordan Reed.
And it's typical that a young quarterback like Kirk Cousins trying to establish himself just targets the tight end a lot.
Especially one who catches everything.
Yep, he's pretty good.
He catches everything. He doesn't drop footballs. He doesn't, you know, and he's not an excellent blocker, but he's a good route runner. He gets open. He's available to his quarterback. And, hey, he's got some speed, and he can get in the end zone. The other guy I like this week, he's against Chicago. The Chicago Bears are not very good at covering tight ends so far really this year. Kyle Rudolph of the Minnesota Vikings, he's back. He's ready to go. I think that's going to be a good play this week.
You know who else is really bad at covering tight ends? Seattle.
Oh, they're awesome.
Oddly. Yeah, and guess Jason Witten and your boy, Gavin Escobar,
Gavin,
have a chance to have good games. Because I think also this week the advantage you have is with Dez coming back, a lot of times when a receiver comes back off an injury, that first game or two, he's sort of a decoy out there. I do not expect Dez to have a great game. But I certainly expect him to open up that offense to allow guys like Escobar and Witten and the running back core to have good games. And even maybe Terrence Williams. Like,
maybe
I like the other guys on Dallas to me.
Yeah. So that's true. And I like, you know, Escobar had a touchdown against Seattle last year. Witten had a pretty nice game against them last year. Actually, a lot of guys on that team had a pretty nice game against Seattle up in Seattle last year when they won 30-26. It was a pretty nice day.
I'm surprised you remember that game so clearly.
Well, anyway, so kind of off topic again, but so the Cowboys are kind of trolling the Seahawks a little bit today. Today, Darren Woodson, all-time great NFL safety, Darren Woodson, who should be in the Hall of Fame and probably will be very shortly, I'm sure. He goes into the Cowboys Ring of Honor today. He is the Cowboys' all-time leading tackler. And I don't have the number off the top. It's a ridiculous number of tackles, in all honesty. But he's the all-time leading tackler in the history of the Dallas Cowboys. And he set that record against the Seattle Seahawks. And that was the same day that Emmitt Smith set the all-time rushing record against the Seattle Seahawks. So he goes into the Ring of Honor against the Seahawks today. A little bit of a troll from the Cowboys.
Well, now, there's a game, just to kind of transition to talk about that game real quick. Who's that game bigger for? Because that's a huge game for both teams.
It really is for both teams. They both got to have it. The Seahawks cannot be 3-5. Okay, probably bigger, a little bit bigger for the Seahawks because the Seahawks cannot be 3-5. The Cowboys kind of can be 2-5 if they win their next two games after that against Philadelphia and Tampa Bay because they got some winnables coming up. Not that they would want to be 2-5, but I think the Seahawks cannot go to 3-5 and allow the Arizona Cardinals to go to 5-2.
I don't think there's a bigger game in the league this week for both teams, where both teams need it so bad,
they really
that
do.
Game.
No.
And
the
reason I think Dallas needs it so bad, like, Dallas can't lose every game Tony Romo doesn't play. Like, they have to win. They're 0-4 without Romo. They have to win some of these games.
Yeah, and they've got to start doing it now. They can't – if Tony Romo comes back against Miami on November 22nd, they cannot be 2-7 at that point. They can be 4-5. Okay.
Maybe even 3-6 in the division.
Right. Even 3-6 might not be bad because the Giants got some tough games coming up, and they're probably going to lose a couple. And the Eagles are, let's face it, they look like a 500 team.
Yep. Everybody in that division kind of does.
Yeah, kind of. Oh, yeah. Man. The Lions can't even do an interception right. Okay, anyway.
Another guy I like that might be available in your league is receiver Malcolm Floyd from San Diego. San Diego has done all their damage through the air this year. Even their running backs have been better catching the ball than running the ball. Interesting tidbit. He has the longest average target in the league, over 19 yards per attempt to Malcolm Floyd. So everything that's being thrown at Malcolm Floyd is like a 9 route going down the field. And he's against the 5th worst pass defense in the league in Baltimore. So you see Baltimore on the piece of paper and you go, oh, that's a good defense. And
no,
I talked about this a couple weeks ago, how I thought Baltimore was just not going to be a good defense when everything sort of, you know, the chips all fell where they may by the end of the year, that you'd look at it and go, Baltimore's pretty bad defensively.
It is less than good.
Baltimore is pretty bad defensively.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't have great corners and safeties, and Malcolm Floyd has an ability to catch a long one today, and he may have a bunch of yards. So a guy that may be available and may do some damage this week is Malcolm Floyd. Really like him.
Speaking of the Chargers and fantasy, last week we talked about I have Danny Woodhead in one of my leagues, and they were up against the Raiders last week, And I remember telling you that he was projected for 20 points last week.
Yep.
And we were like, wow, that seems like a lot. He beat that.
He had a great game.
Danny Woodhead is underrated as far as one of the better running backs in the league. He doesn't carry the ball a bunch. He doesn't get a lot of yards on the ground, but – As somebody out of the backfield in that kind of Darren Sproles, San Diego Chargers role, he's pretty good. I mean, he's pretty good.
It's just one of those things. Look, I'll say it because you won't. He's a 5'8" white guy, and you look at him back there and you go, there's no way he's a good running back. And then every time he carries the ball, you go, holy shit, he's a good running back.
He has 5 yards. He just busted off an 18-yard reception for a touchdown. You know,
dude,
that's what
he is their goal line back.
Yes.
He's the guy. Yes. You need 2 yards. You give it to Danny.
You're not giving it to Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
You're not giving it to Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
He won't get him.
So there you go. Danny Woodhead. I like him a lot. He's probably not available in your league, but if you play PPR and you can pick up Danny Woodhead, oh, my God.
And you haven't, you're not getting football.
And then, so on the opposite side of the coin, running backs we really don't like this week.
Yeah.
The Packers. The Packers running backs. Just Eddie Lacy. Oh, my God.
Oh.
You know,
all right.
His fatness has overcome his talent. And then James Starks is banged up.
Yeah. In the Honda City League that Mike and I are both in, we had our draft, and I had, like, the 7th pick in the draft, and everybody passed over Eddie Lacy, and I was just like, what are you guys doing? I'll pick Eddie Lacy. Everybody else was right. I should have let him go. I should have taken Devontae Freeman.
You're in the moment, that's a great draft pick. You know, in hindsight, obviously it's not, but in the moment it was.
I made up for it in round 7 when I got DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I would say. Well, the thing is, Denver's defense is, it's not like they're sneaky good, but they're better than you think they are if you haven't watched Denver. Like,
they're so good.
Their offense is atrocious.
They are 6-0 because of their defense. There's no their offense without their defense. Their offense is nothing. How many? I mean, have they scored like 4 defensive touchdowns already, or 5 defensive touchdowns?
They've had a great year.
And I'm talking, they score their defensive touchdowns in games where the team wins by 6.
Yeah.
Okay. That should tell you what's going on.
You basically are generally in start your Packers mode, you know, because it's the Packers offense. If I have options this week, I'm not starting Packers wide receivers.
Right.
If I have a quality option, I'm not starting Aaron Rodgers. Now, when I say quality, I mean quality. If I had Ryan Fitzpatrick or Aaron Rodgers, I think I would actually start Ryan Fitzpatrick over Aaron Rodgers this week.
I have a league where my 2 quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers and Blake Bortles, and if Blake Bortles wasn't on the bye this week, he would be my starter.
Yeah.
Because Bortles has been really great in fantasy this year, and Rodgers has got a he's actually kind of been a little mediocre, and he's got a bad matchup today. All right, so that's that for Fantasy Hot or Not. I think Mike won this week. Good job.
I didn't know it was a competition. Right. I try to do my best to, you know, to bring it every week.
Kind of doing that Tony Kornheiser, I beat you this week. So there's that. So we're going to move on, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to, despite ourselves, we're going to do bowl predictions, even though we don't really want to do them anymore. We're still going to do them. How do you like that, Mike?
I'm going to get them all right this week. I'm going to buck the trend.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear it. All right, so here we go. We're going to do a commercial. We'll be back after this.
Hey, football fans, looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the bold prediction segment, whatever you want to call it. That, of course, the great Creedence Clearwater Revival and John Fogerty with I Put a Spell on You to continue the Halloween-themed music selections today. All right, Mike, we're going to do our bold predictions. It's going to be awesome, especially yours. Mine are going to not be as good.
Mine are quarterback-related.
All right, awesome. Let's hear one of your awesome bold predictions.
Okay. So one of the following quarterbacks is the top quarterback in fantasy this week. And they are not guys who are normally the top quarterback in fantasy.
Okay.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Teddy Bridgewater. One of those two is your top fantasy quarterback in week 8 of the NFL season.
Okay. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I'll vote for that.
Well, Bridgewater gets the Bears. He also gets to throw to Stephon Diggs, who we've discussed previously, is killing people. And we talked a little bit before, Fitzpatrick's against the worst pass defense in the league, in the Raiders. So one of those two guys. And, you know, to couple with that, Brandon Marshall has been awesome this season, just kind of as a side note. Going into the season, no talk of Brandon Marshall in fantasy because kind of the idea was there's no quarterback to throw to him. And people forgot that Brandon Marshall's had a bunch of bad quarterbacks. He's had Jay Cutler, and he's had Kyle Orton, and now he gets Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Brandon Marshall keeps looking like a pro's pro every week. So,
yeah,
love Brandon Marshall in general. Really like Fitzpatrick and Bridgewater this week.
I agree completely. I absolutely agree completely. Let's see. What's my bold prediction this year? Let's see. This week. This week, my bold prediction is Darren McFadden of the Dallas Cowboys will have his first back-to-back 100-yard rushing games in, I don't know, forever. It's been a really
definitely
long time.
Greater.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. And I think it was 2012 or 13. I'm not sure which one it was. But anyway, so it's been a long, long time since Darren McFadden had back-to-back 100-yard rushing games, and he's up against the Seattle Seahawks, and everyone's like, oh, the Seahawks defense. Well, remember this. Last year, up in Seattle, the Dallas Cowboys offensive line led DeMarco Murray to over 100 yards rushing against the Seattle Seahawks defense. So I think that's going to happen again today, and Darren McFadden will be the beneficiary of most of those yards.
Okay, I think that Dez Bryant does open it up for other guys, but I think it's the other guys in the passing game.
Okay.
I like their tight ends a lot this week.
Yeah, I'm just saying, the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys pretty much dominated that defensive line last year.
Well, they're really good. Dominated.
Yeah, they are super
that's
good.
That's one of the top two or three offensive lines in football. And they typically are. I'm kind of curious who their offensive line coach is, because that offensive line is always really, really good.
Well, last year it was Bill Callahan, but he is gone. And so there's
Bill
that.
Bill Callahan, is that the old Raiders head coach? Callahan?
Yes, he was with the Cowboys for several years. He was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he is gone now, and I know who it is, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, which is awful. Because
that's
he
a really,
really
well
good coach. Well, he was the guy who was the offensive line assistant. He is now the offensive line coach over there. Like you said, really good. Let's see. I'm going to pull it up in 2 seconds, so just stick with me here. It's Frank Pollock. I'm sorry. Frank Pollock is the
okay.
offensive line coach. And he's a huge dude. He's a huge dude. He is really,
they
really big.
They always are.
He's like Mike Tice. Mike Tice is just this huge guy.
Yep.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah, awesome. So, yes, Frank Pollock is the offensive line coach there. Really awesome. Back in the day, it was Hudson Houck, who was also a really good offensive line coach. But anyway, so there we go with that. Mike, next, do you got another bold prediction? Or no?
I do.
All right,
so
awesome.
Today, Denver and Green Bay play each other, and we get zombie Peyton Manning for Halloween against – young and spectacular Aaron Rodgers. And I said I was going to stick with the QBs. Peyton Manning, whether you look at fantasy or just real life, outplays Aaron Rodgers today. And I'm to quantify it with a number, what I'm going to say is Peyton Manning throws for more yards than Aaron Rodgers in the game.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a bold prediction just because of the way Peyton's looked, but I think at the same time the Denver defense is so much better. That actually could happen. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, so my next bold prediction is that the Saints, Willie Snead, will have a 100-yard game against the New York Giants this week. 100 yards, and I'll give him 2 touchdowns. Willie Snead, who's actually
been
sneaky good. Yeah. He's a sneaky good in fantasy. He's been building a rapport with Drew Brees. They've actually started to really like Brees is now looking for Willie Snead out there. Kid's got some speed. He looks like a good route runner. Needs a haircut. Other than that, really good player.
Well, and the Giants are a little thin in the secondary. Prince Amakamura will be on Brandon Cooks most likely. Will be shading that side of the field. And so you've got you probably got some openings for Snead. I think that's a good solid pick. Somebody for New Orleans is going to have a big game today because the Giants' pass offense is exploitable.
Yep.
So I like their passing game. I like Breeze today. And if you had to pick one out of a hat, I think Snead's as good as anybody to tend towards. So I like that pick too.
I like Snead, and it's fun to say. All right, you got another one?
Well, I think the leading rusher in the NFL today is Chris Johnson. that's the boldest prediction I got for you. Now they are playing Cincinnati, or they are playing Cleveland, I should say. So the boldness is taken away a little bit by the fact that the defense has been so bad, but they have options all over their offense. They can throw it. They can run it. They can run it with multiple guys. And I think Chris Johnson's going to bust one of those 80 yard runs that he used to be, you know, when he was CJ2K a few years ago. I can see him getting that 75, 80 yard touchdown where he just shoots through that line like a missile and you go, holy crap, Cleveland's rushing defense is terrible.
Right. It gets close to like 200 yards and all that good stuff today. Like throw back to 2008 automatically. Yep. Yes, absolutely.
I think he's the top rusher in the league. And just sort of as an aside related to that, boy, there's a guy you thought was done. I mean, done.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks great. He's not falling to first contact. One of the biggest things as a running back in the NFL is, look, it's 11 on 11. And actually, it's sort of 10 on 11 because your quarterback ain't blocking for you. And so you've got to find a way. You have to find a way as a running back to make the first guy miss or you don't get
yard, yards.
And Chris Johnson
contact.
Has run off that first guy all year. The first guy's not bringing him down. He's slippery. And he looks, you know, he's had a renaissance. So test him for steroids, and he's going to have a good day today.
He openly courted the Dallas Cowboys this year, and they were like, no thanks, we're done. We're not interested. So there's that.
Although your gold fronts are sweet,
yes.
We don't like your in-game skills as much.
We love your dread game. And if we were going to a strip joint, you'd be the first guy we'd call.
There's no question.
Titans at Texans. I am predicting Zach Mettenberger to throw for 3 touchdowns today in a Titans victory at Houston.
I thought you were going to predict an unwatchable game.
Oh, no, that's for sure going to happen.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's not
happen.
Even bold.
Please don't.
If you're not
it
a
on.
Fan of one of those two teams, and you have the NFL package, and it lands on that game, I feel really bad for you.
Yeah, I will turn it on for a bit because I do have DeAndre Hopkins, and I am interested to see how many yards he's going to get against the Titans defense today. But I think the Titans win one today in Houston with 3 Zach Mettenberger touchdowns.
Boy, what a bad division!
It's horrible.
Oh God.
It is easily the worst division of football.
Yeah, and going into the year, so last year, the NFC South with Tampa
NFC
Bay,
South.
Atlanta,
wow.
Carolina, New Orleans was like worst division in football, not close, sends a team without a winning record to the playoffs. And so what always happens in the NFL, every year I see the same thing happen. Guys at the beginning of the season are prognosticating, and they pick the same teams to make the playoffs that made the playoffs the year before. And every year I go, the league is top-tier. Yeah. Last place teams end up in first place a lot. And that division, particularly the NFC South, every year it flips over.
It's an 8-8 league. It's designed for teams to go 8-8.
Yeah. So when you have teams that are good year in, year out, like the Green Bays, the New Englands, there's something special about them. And it's usually coach and quarterback.
Their general manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Front office, coach, quarterback, that's it. That's where you set
everyone plays with the same rules in the NFL. Everyone plays with the same salary cap, the same 53-man roster, and you have to find
the
a way to make
the same inflation of the football, the same PSI.
The same PSI of the footballs. Yep, absolutely. Now, science dictates that it was cold that day.
It was, and contraction, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, but yes, what you're saying, your point is absolutely valid. That's how you set yourself apart in this league. It's not by, you know, I don't know. It's 8-8 league. It's an 8-8 league.
Yep.
That's what it is.
But on the flip side of that coin, there's a few teams that have to miracle their way to 8-8, and every year they're bad. Like Detroit, that we're sort of watching out of the side of our screen today, miracled their way to the playoffs last year, and now Detroit rears its ugly head this year. Where it's like, well, salary cap wise, you know, we can't afford to keep our defensive line that was the strength of our team. And now look at us, you know.
We're awful. Just awful.
We've regressed to the mean.
Correct. And people coming in are like, well, they can make up for it because they've got Darius Slay and they've got DeAndre Levy and they've got, you know, Grover Quinn or Glover. Or how do you say his name? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Sure, Glover.
Glover Quinn, that's awesome.
Yeah. The amazing thing to me about Detroit this year is they get Abdullah from Nebraska, you know, in the draft. And everyone, I would assume, thinks they're going to improve on offense. I mean, they added this dynamic running back. They've got the same good receiver, same quarterback, and their offense is atrocious.
Why? Because their offensive line is not good. Yeah. It's bad. It's a bad
offensive. Stafford's on his back half the game, or he's rushed and he's throwing picks. And they look bad. So they're on the other side of that, the you know, regressing to 8-8 and struggling just to get to 8-8.
Right. The Tampa Bay's, Detroit's, Cleveland's, these franchises who are consistently not good. Consistently not good. So, good point. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we should be joined by our good friend, Alan Zlotarczynski, friend of the program, smartest guy in the room whenever he comes on, for sure. All right. We'll be back after this with Alan Z to break down Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, our game of the week.
Hey, NFL fans, be sure to join Alan Zlotarczynski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10 right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. It's the NFL Standard, a can't-miss for every NFL fan.
Do you play fantasy sports? Of course you do. But are you really getting the best out of your fantasy sports experience? Don't worry, we have the answer for you. MyFantasyCommish.com is the first-ever third-party fantasy sports commissioner service, including a free social platform similar to Facebook and Twitter. MFC creates and manages your league, including live or online drafts, scoring options, and league rules, using your website of choice. Tired of having to deal with the stress of setting up and running your fantasy sports league? One more time to enjoy managing your team instead of answering question upon question from other team owners? Our team of fantasy experts will help you customize your league to make sure that it is better than ever. Done are the days of fantasy commissioners who make rules without league approval. Many fantasy sports commissioners run around like a chicken with their head cut off trying to collect league fees from other players. MFC provides a finance package that makes the collection of league fees as simple as possible. Once the year is over, we confirm the winners of the league, and voila! The payment is immediately delivered to your PayPal account. Want to play in a hockey or basketball league but your buddies aren't interested? Left out of your boyfriend's fantasy league? Good thing you don't need them, because now you have MFC. MFC provides a social community for users to connect, communicate, and compete with players from all over the world. Don't listen to people brag or complain about their fantasy teams. Draft your own and be part of the action. My Fantasy Commish is completely free to sign up, and only $14 per team for the league management service. Hey, you're not Superman. Let MFC run your fantasy league and get back to enjoying fantasy sports like they were meant to be.
Attention sports fans! FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
There is superstition. Oh yeah. Writing on the wall. Bring Defunk on the day after Halloween. Stevie Wonder, the great Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder, the musical genius. Superstition. What a great song, by the way. Super funky. Yeah, Mike? I saw Mike grooving. It was good.
He'll never see you coming.
All right, so we're waiting for Alan. Of course, Alan has his own show that he does on Sunday morning, so sometimes we got to wait a little bit for him when he's on. And that's fine, because Alan's worth the wait.
I was actually just going to put my headset down and let Alan talk, but if he's not here, I guess I'm going to have to keep working.
Yeah, for a little bit. So we're just excited to have Alan on. Hopefully he makes it in a couple minutes here. Because he's just, listen, Alan Zarzynski is as knowledgeable as anybody I have ever heard, listened to, spoken with. He just, you ask him a question about a sports topic, he's got your answer for you.
Yeah.
He's got an answer. It's well thought out. He's thought about it. He's got a great take on it. It's always that good. It's just always that good.
Of all the people we have on, I like Alan's. He's fabulous to have on. He is just, so insightful. It's just a pleasure to have him on here.
Absolutely. And like I said, never, ever at a loss for words. He's always got your answer for you. If you ask him a question.
What a bunch of great games to pick we have this week.
Oh, yeah. We got six really good ones. Six really good ones. Like last week was kind of dog. Let me just kind of put that in his perspective for you. Mike had a 5-1 week last week because it was super easy. And I went 4-2 because I suck. I should have nailed it. God.
So what's our overall record for the season? I see you did not put that on the rundown.
No, I don't. I'm going to give it to you in a minute. I'm going to give it to you in a minute because guess who's on the line?
Hey.
Alan Zarzynski is with us, folks. Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Gentlemen, how are you?
It's good to hear your voice.
Interesting season, huh? Interesting season so far.
Well, it's going just how we thought it would, Alan. As always.
Well, look, from my perspective, it sucks. But,
Hey, mine too.
1-6. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, my team's 2-4, but at least we can say we're doing it without our starting quarterback. How's that?
you can say, and look, my team is going to have a 1,000-yard rusher, 8 guys with double digits, 4,300-yard passer, defense with 20 sacks. Well, we have no playmakers, so I'm talking about the Ravens, but they'll win today.
Yeah, today's the day. We don't have them on the pick six this week, but that's fine. We'll get to that in a little bit. We're going to talk about the two other teams in that division who are actually having really good seasons. One of them having a really as good a season as they've ever had, the Cincinnati Bengals, and they travel to the Monongahela and southwestern Pennsylvania to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their bane, really. This is where Cincinnati's hopes and dreams from years past have gone to die is Three Rivers and now Heinz Stadium. Correct? I mean, I'm right, right?
You're right.
Yeah. Look, I mean, this is validation week in the NFL. Separation week, right, guys? I mean, teams like the Bengals, the Raiders even, because the Jets and the Steelers are in the wild card. The Raiders get them the next 2 weeks. The Vikings got to win in Chicago. But this game right here for the Cincinnati Bengals, they're 6-0. They've done it twice. They've never started 7-0. Ben Roethlisberger owns them. Owns them.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I don't think today's going to be any different.
All right.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, here's the thing. Roethlisberger's record against the two Ohio teams has been ridiculous. Like, he just owns them. And, of course, he went to Miami of Ohio in college, the Red Hawks. Especially Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's been very bad for the entire time that Pittsburgh has had Ben Roethlisberger. And Cincinnati has really been a more up-and-down team, but they've never been in Pittsburgh's class. So now if at any time they're going to get something done, they're 6-0 heading into Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's now 4-2. They got Roethlisberger back. Like, Cincinnati, how can you feel if you're a Cincinnati fan? Like, everybody else gets to play the Steelers without Roethlisberger, but now he comes back to kill us again. So here we go.
Well, you know what? You better, if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, you know what? Because you know how those rivalries are. You want Roethlisberger in there today.
Yeah.
Todd Haley's been licking his chops for weeks. I think the Steelers offense, 34 times they throw the ball average when he's in the game, 25 times without him. Last year, two games, Antonio Brown, targeted 27 times, 16 of them for 245. I think they're just. I think the Steelers' offense is looking to just absolutely bust out Le'Veon Bell. I you know what? If I'm Cincinnati, this is it. What do we have? We're going to find out today.
Yeah, and
well,
there's a reason why. Go ahead.
He takes the back end off your defense too, Martavius Bryant. He that nine route. You know, you just send him down the field and play 10 on 10.
Yeah.
If he happens to break loose or, you know, get behind the safety, you've got a deep pass. I like the Steelers offense a lot now that Big Ben's back in there. You look at what they did with backups, and they did well, you know, with Vic and Landry Jones, I thought. They were able to hold the fort without Big Ben, which as a Dallas fan, you can sort of appreciate how difficult it is to hold
it's
the fort without your guy.
And the thing of it, it's exact opposite of what the Ravens have. Like Alan said, no weapons. They have so many weapons that you don't even talk about guys like Keith Miller. You know what I mean? It's Antonio Bryant, Le'Veon Bell. Even when D'Angelo Williams is in there, it's good. He's got Martavis Bryant. And now you're going to add Ben Roethlisberger back to that, open up the playbook, do everything you want to do. I think the reason why this is our featured game of the week is because it's got – One of the top three offenses in the league against a really good defense, a defense that's been excellent so far this year, and a team that's offensively pretty good themselves. It's going to be – I hope this is such a great game just because it has that potential. And if the Bengals are able to go in there and beat the Steelers, that's tough straights for the Steelers because they'll be back down three games. So the Steelers have to have this game. They have to. Yeah?
I agree.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
and Andy Dalton's the key to this thing, isn't he, guys? What's he, 2-6 against the Steelers?
Yep.
I mean, this guy, the rifle, what is he, lead the NFL in passer ratings, He's got, this guy, Andy Dalton, 14 touchdowns, only two picks. He's only been sacked twice.
Excellent. Their offensive line is so good. It is so good. Like, Andy Whitworth is one of my favorite players in the league, in all honesty, and he gets no love, but he's a great offensive lineman, and he's not the only one they've got. They've got five of them. They're all good.
Andy Dalton's always been really good, but I feel like he's really good in the games where they're just better than the other team, and then he's sort of average when they get into the games where it's a real matchup. So today's one of those days where Ben Roethlisberger's always good. Can Andy Dalton step up and be as good as Ben Roethlisberger? Because if he's as good as Roethlisberger, I think the rest of the rosters favors Cincinnati. Cincinnati's roster's really, really good, 1 through 53.
Yeah, it's super good.
And, you know, historically, Ben Roethlisberger has just dumpstered Cincinnati. So if he can kind of keep even with Big Ben, then the rest of their roster carries them to a win. So we'll see how it goes, but it's a great game.
Yeah. Well, I think Dalton, again, he's not getting pressure, so he's been really, really good, like any quarterback would be. So you've got to get pressure on him. And the problem is their offensive line is so good, I don't know that you can get a lot of pressure on him. Pittsburgh might be able to do it with Bud Dupree and some of the other guys that are going to run out there, but you've got to get pressure on him, particularly up the middle. I think Pittsburgh can do that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Alan? What do you think?
You know what? To me, it's all about this Steelers secondary today. 27th in the NFL, and this is a different secondary than the one that Dalton looked at last year when the Steelers swept them. No Polamalu back there. A total changeover today. You don't have any. You don't have Tuitt coming in at you today. To me, this is going to be one of the most entertaining games of the year. A high scoring game today. I think both quarterbacks will just be throwing the football all over the field. Marvin Jones, AJ Green. I mean, everybody, big you fantasy guys, put them all in today because this is going to be one of those 38-35 games where everybody has success. Throw the defenses out the door here.
I agree 100%.
Marvin Jones is the same thing for Cincinnati that Bryant is for Pittsburgh. He can take the back end off your defense and make you cover the whole field. And if you don't, all of a sudden you got a 50-yard completion to Marvin Jones down the field. So we'll see which – I think, really, if I had to point to a key other than the two quarterback matchups, it's the lid off the defense. Is it Martavius Bryant? Is it Marvin Jones, that secondary receiver that makes it easier for everybody else on the field?
Yeah, I think because of that, I think you might see a lot from Tyler Eifert today. This is a guy who's finally healthy, and he's really showing up as to what kind of talent he is. Like I said, he owns – every record at Notre Dame for – he owns a lot of the just playing receiving records, but he is the tight end in the history of like tight end university, Notre Dame. So, and he's really been so good this year. Tyler Eifert against the linebackers of Pittsburgh, kind of young. I think it's a good matchup. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, no, I love it. And look, A.J. Green, 220-plus receiving yards against the Ravens earlier in this year. And the game plan for defenses has been to take A.J. Green out of the offense. And when they've done that, Tyler Eifert all day long. Six catches, tied for the second most in the league. Six touchdown catches, tied for the second most in the league. And look, even if they take Eifert out of this thing, the Steelers defense is still going to have to stop Giovanni Bernard, 400-plus yards. And Jeremy Hill, who had 950 yards over the final nine games last season. You talk about playmakers for the Steelers, boy, these Bengals have it too.
Oh man, they got weapons all over the place. And it's both that's why this game's going to be so great. It's both teams have so many weapons. It's so good. Oh, I'm so excited for this game. It's like the exact opposite. Mike earlier said, if you have the NFL package and you turn on the Titans and the Texans, what are you doing? If you have the NFL package and you're not watching Bengals Steelers, just turn it in. You don't need, don't buy it next year.
Brian Gates and I said that we would pay for a counseling session for you if you were watching the Titans and the Texans over this football game, because you got a serious, serious problem.
Serious problem. I don't care. Even if you are a Texans fan or a Titans fan, you should be watching the Steelers and the Bengals. You should be.
Yeah, watch good football so you know what it looks
good
like.
Good football. Absolutely. All right. We'll switch gears. We're going to go to our pick six. Thanks, Alan, so much. It's awesome. I am so excited for this game. Excited. Oh, man. All right.
We didn't even talk yet about the other great game this week between two undefeated teams, the latest in the season that two undefeated teams have met.
I know, because this one is so good. Because Green Bay and Denver, let's talk. Okay, you want to talk about it for a second? Denver's offense is bad. Green Bay's offense is not as good as it has been. And I think
they have no running game and they have no Jordy Nelson.
Correct. So I think, I don't know. We're going to pick that game in a minute, so we'll talk a little bit more about it. How's that? First game, Alan, in the pick six. Okay, just to give you an idea, I've got to give you the record. The guests have been overtaken. They are 26-16, and they were just overtaken by Mike last week. He was now 27-15, and I'm bringing up the rear at 22-20. Okay, Alan, our first pick of the week, Indianapolis at Carolina. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to take Carolina. Andrew Luck and Brian Grigson and Chuck Pagano and Jim Irsay, it's a dumpster fire. I like Carolina all day long in this one.
Yeah, if you give me Carolina's offensive and defensive line against Indy's offensive and defensive line, I think Carolina wins the game. All the rest of the roster, it doesn't matter, because when you pit the two lines against each other, Carolina dominates both sides of the ball. I like Carolina a lot. If it was in Indy, I would still take Carolina. The fact that it's in Carolina, give me Carolina.
Yeah, Indianapolis is just the most disappointing team in the NFL. There's no other way to say it. They are completely disappointing. I picked them to go 13-3 this year. They got a better chance of having 13 losses at this point. And Carolina, as surprising as any team in the NFL, so good. I mean, you always felt like they had a good quarterback, a decent quarterback, a really good defense potentially, but I didn't think they could be this good, and they've been this good. I'm taking Carolina as well. All right, New York Jets travel out to Oakland in the Heidi game, which is every time they go out there, you got to bring up Heidi. Which, Mike, do you even know what that is?
I do. Yeah. Okay. The time they changed the game over to Heidi, and for the last 17 seconds, yeah.
Regularly scheduled programming, right? Okay, all right, Alan, who do you got, Jets or Raiders?
Well, boy, this takes me back to great times when I wasn't even born, back in the old AFL days. Al Davis, Joe Namath, like you said, the Heidi game. Look, I love what Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. This is also validation for the Oakland Raiders the next 2 weeks. They get the Jets, they get the Steelers, both wild card teams in the AFC. Right now, though, I don't know that secondary of the New York Jets is going to allow Amari Cooper, and Darrell Revis is going to allow Amari Cooper to have the type of day that Oakland's going to need to have. I like the Jets today, but I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. Raiders fan, don't hang your head if you lose this game today, because I still think that you're a football team that's up and coming. I'll take the Jets.
All right, Mike, I think I know where you're going. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Go ahead and give me your pick.
Well, then I'm going to surprise you because I'm going to take Oakland. I would take the home team in this game. If it was the other way, I would take the Jets if it was in New York. Before the season, I really liked Oakland, and I thought Oakland had a really good chance to make the playoffs. And this is a game that they need if they're going to make the playoffs. And for what it's worth, as a Patriots fan, I watched the AFC East's other three teams disappoint their fans on a weekly basis for many years. And I just think this is one of those games where the Jets come in sort of higher expectations than they've had, and they find a way to disappoint their fans. And I think even though Oakland's going to struggle on the edges, that we agree that those corners are not exploitable. They find a way with Latavius Murray and with David Carr. They find a way to move the ball, and their defense slows down the Jets a little bit. But, again, I did talk about it. I think Fitzpatrick has a great game against their secondary. I just think Oakland finds a way to win this game, whether it be defensive scores. Something comes out and surprises you, and I'm taking Oakland.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to take the Jets, but I will say this about this. Their defensive line, as good as it is, as touted as it is, the Jets I'm speaking of, they don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So Carr could have some time to throw. He's got some other guys, Marcel Reese. Again, Latavius Murray is going to be big for them. So they've got some guys out there who can maybe do some damage. But I am going to take the Jets just because I think their defense is going to be a little too much. All right, the Giants go to New Orleans and play the Saints. What do you got, Alan Zardzinski?
Well, look, I mean, these are two teams. Are these two teams really, could we call it, surging? 3-4 and 4-3, the Giants lead an absolute horrible NFC East. I like the Saints today at home. I do. I think that they can run the football today. I like Drew Brees at home, Sean Payton. Give me the Saints.
Okay. And, Mike, what do you got?
I am on the Saints as well. The Giants' secondary is not good. Drew Brees is good. It is in New Orleans, inside the dome, perfect conditions for throwing the football. And I think New Orleans finds a way to move the ball on the edge. And I like New Orleans game. Much like a couple of the other games, if it were reversed, I would take the Giants at New York. But because it's in New Orleans, I like New Orleans.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little surprised that we're all taking the Saints in this game. But, again, it's at the dome. I don't really think that the Giants are super impressive. I'm going to take the Saints as well for a lot of the same reasons you guys have already said. All right, big game for me, Seattle at Dallas in the return of Dez Bryant. Alan, what do you think?
Oh, wow, he's on a pitch count today. What do we got, Matt Castle back there? We know Richard Sherman's going to shadow Dez Bryant. Look, I'm a Cowboy fan too. You know, I feel your pain here. I really, really do. I don't think today – Dallas' defense, though, I think has an opportunity to stop Seattle from running the football, but I only think that keeps the game close. I like Seattle on the road today, despite the fact that I think the Cowboys defensively will have a good football game.
Okay. Talk to you, Mike.
Well, this is another one. Going into the season, I really like Seattle. I think everybody really likes Seattle going into the season. They've underperformed a little bit, but I think they're better than they've shown. If Romo was playing, this is a different game, but he's not. I don't like Matt Castle. I'm not going to bet on Matt Castle. I think Seattle wins this game. We talked about it before. It's a huge game for them. If they want to be relevant going forward, they need to win this game. Much can be said for Dallas too, but without Romo, Dallas is not good without Romo. So
okay.
I like Seattle.
All right. I'm going to surprise and I'm going to take Seattle as well. More for the fact that I've been picking Dallas every week and they have not won. So I'm going to go the other way and hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, they're 0-4 without Romo. And it shows the importance of the quarterback in the NFL. And Romo is a guy who, you know, he's just underappreciated because he hasn't had the playoff success, you know. But at the same time, look, he's got these fourth quarter comebacks. He's got great statistics. He's got a great win-loss record. And I feel like he's an underappreciated guy. And you see when he's not in the game how much it matters.
Legitimately, if they have Romo right now, they're probably 5-1. They're probably 5-1. With
they're
a chance to be 6-0. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, anyway, so going on, here's the other big game. Undefeated Green Bay at undefeated Denver. Alan, tell me what's going to happen in this game.
Well, you look at Green Bay this year, gentlemen. Surprisingly, they're more effective running the football, at least statistically speaking, than they are at passing. It's 22nd in the NFL when they put the ball in the air. This Denver defense, I mean, if you could take that Denver offense from a couple of years ago and pair them with this Denver defense this season, you probably would be looking at one of the best teams in the history of the NFL. But, gentlemen, we know we can't play the game that way. This Denver defense is amazing because, really, this Broncos football team should have two victories on the year, tops, when you look at it. To me, at Denver, under the bright lights, surprising, I like Peyton Manning to have a pretty good game tonight. You look at this Green Bay defense, they're 22nd against the run, 12th against the pass. I think Ronnie Hillman has a nice night tonight. I think Peyton Manning finds enough targets to get it done. And I just really believe that Denver defense is as good as advertised. Wade Phillips has done a phenomenal job calling different blitz packages, and I think he comes after Aaron Rodgers a lot tonight. I think Rodgers struggles a little bit. I like the Broncos in this one.
All right, Michael.
It's hard to argue with that logic. It's hard to argue. Defense wins championships. This is that sort of a game that is a playoff Super Bowl caliber football game. These two teams are really, really good. They're good in all three phases, but Denver's defense is the best unit on the field. They're between the two offenses, the two defenses, the two special teams. Denver's defense is on a historical pace. They're really, really good. And that's what it takes to slow Green Bay down, for what it's worth, because as much as I like Tom Brady as a New England fan, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I think I've ever seen. And this is the type of effort it takes to stop him. And if you're going to have to put a roadblock in front of him, my bold prediction was Peyton Manning outplays Aaron Rodgers, at least statistically. And if Peyton Manning outplays Aaron Rodgers statistically, then Denver wins this game. So I'm going to take Denver.
All right. I mean, that's definitely how it gets done. I mean, it's got to be by the defense. Here's the thing. I just trust Aaron Rodgers so much. I don't know. Maybe I'm going for a little fool's gold here. I'm going to take Green Bay because I've seen so much out of Denver that I haven't liked from their offense. Their defense has saved them so many times, and I just don't think you can do that against Green Bay. Green Bay is not Cleveland. Green Bay is not Baltimore. Sorry, Alex. Green Bay is Green Bay. And Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers. So there's that. So I'm taking Green Bay. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, our featured game of the week. Alan, give us your pick.
Man, I'm going to take, as much as this pains me to pick either one, the best scenario would be a tie and, you know, injuries. You know, I can't wish for injuries. That's horrible. But a tie football game, but that's not going to happen. This is going to be the best football game of the day, as we talked about earlier. Playmakers all over the place. To me, what it comes down to is going to be, I just can't see Andy Dalton beating Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. The emotion of Roethlisberger's return. I like Pittsburgh's playmakers on offense a little bit more than I like Cincinnati's playmakers. I trust Ben Roethlisberger more than I trust Andy Dalton, and I'll take the Steelers 38-35 in overtime, gentlemen.
All right, I like it. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, let's say you had never watched an NFL game before this year, and you're just looking at this year's Cincinnati team and this year's Pittsburgh team, and you didn't know a whole lot about the history of the matchup and the history of the league and the history of Andy Dalton and the history of Big Ben, I think you easily take Cincinnati. All that being said, I am a firm believer that history repeats itself. And in this game, you will see history repeat itself. And you will see Big Ben outplay Andy Dalton, and you will see Pittsburgh find a way to make Cincinnati look pedestrian like they do every time. And you'll see yellow towels waving, and you'll see Pittsburgh win a game convincingly that makes this division competitive. And I think Pittsburgh wins.
All right. Well, I apparently have never watched football before, and I'm only going off this season. All right, so I'm going to take Cincinnati, and this is the reason. I just think this is the game. I think Andy Dalton looks different to me. I love their offensive line. I don't necessarily love Pittsburgh's defensive line. I think their defense is a little suspect. I think that Cincinnati's defense is a much better unit, and they've played much better. So I think you're going to see a lot of yellow towels wiping tears away from a three-game deficit in the AFC North as the Cincinnati Bengals walk out of there with a victory. So that's my pick today. How do you like that, Mike?
Well, that ends the season. As far as the division goes, if Cincinnati wins, it ends the division chances for Pittsburgh. Not that they can't still make the playoffs.
No, for sure.
But I don't know. I expect the intrigue going forward that Pittsburgh has a chance in this division, and I think Pittsburgh is going to take this game. So
I think Cincinnati is going to be one of the best teams in the AFC this year. I think they're going to challenge the Patriots for home field advantage as long as the Patriots don't go 16-0. And okay, so we've got our picks in and all that stuff. So let's talk about this thing, okay? Because people are starting to really talk about the Patriots going 16-0, and I'd like to get Alan's take on this, because I looked at their schedule this week and I got someone said, oh, they won't go undefeated. I'm like, you show me on the Patriots schedule, where's the loss? Where's the loss on that schedule? negative. Not in the regular season. If that's the Super Bowl, I pick that, but not in the regular season. Not in the regular season. It's not at Giants, and it's not at the Jets. So where's Alan, do you see that a game on their schedule where it's like, okay, yeah, they might lose that game?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
The only possible game would be that Denver defense on November 29th. The only possible game. Look, gentlemen, I loathe the New England Patriots, but I have more respect for that organization, Tom. But we had this debate for a half hour this morning on our show, where I said, no question. Interesting that I heard you say that you think that Aaron Rodgers a better quarterback than Tom Brady. You know what? I have become convinced this season alone, that Tom Brady is perhaps, in my mind, say what you will, he's not flashy. To me, the best modern-day quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I am done trying to find ways to pick against the New England Patriots. The entire AFC East went out and spent $1 billion this year defensively to try to stop Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And guess what, gentlemen? All the Patriots have done is run roughshod over Buffalo, the Jets, and, of course, Thursday night, the Dolphins. Here's the other thing that blows my mind. How about the defense, who supposedly wouldn't be able to stop anybody this year? Last week, Miami put up 41 points in the first half against Houston. 41 points. Guess what? This week in the first half, Deion Lewis had 84 yards, okay, in the first half, and the Dolphins' offense had 76. I'm done.
Yeah.
The Patriots are going to be 16-0. Book it. It's done.
Wow.
I agree. I had the same comment. I agree completely. I look at their schedule, and there's just not a team on there that can beat them. There's just not.
The comment regarding Aaron Rodgers, I'm as big a Tom Brady fan as anybody in the world. Statistically, when you look at Aaron Rodgers' statistics, are just mind-blowing.
Right.
Like,
yeah. It's not just a statistic.
But if you give me
demeanor.
One guy to win one game, I'm still taking Tom Brady because I'm a
winner. Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. No.
He's a winner.
Give me Troy.
I guess if you're asking me, are they going to win their next 9 games, and it's sort of an even bet, I'm just going to say no because there's a chance they lose every game. You know, you don't go into any game a definitive, you're just going to win. And I got to think one of these teams finds a way to not let them be 16-0.
Yeah, I guess. I'm going to do this here.
But if you're asking me to pick the one, I will say this, to disagree a little bit with Alan, it's not going to be Denver. Because the games that the Patriots win, those prime time...
Yeah,
you know,
this
is the big matchup against the other really good team. They win every one of those.
Well, here's the thing.
I forgot Peyton Manning was the opposing quarterback in that, and he never beats Tom Brady, so you're right. I digress.
Yeah, so here we go. Here's the thing. Here's the rest of their schedule. Redskins at home, at the Giants, Bills at home, at the Broncos, Eagles at home, at the Texans, Titans at home, at the Jets, at the Dolphins.
Hey,
you know,
if you're saying pick one, I guess
funny.
It's at the Jets.
It's funny because back in 2007 when they were 16-0, the game that they came closest to losing was a Monday night game against my Ravens, and the Ravens were horrible that year, absolutely horrible. Rex Ryan called a timeout with 58 seconds left for God knows what reason and gave the Patriots the second opportunity to put the ball in the end zone. They did that. They beat them. So you're probably looking at one of those teams on there that probably aren't really very good right now that might get better as the season goes on. It probably stands the best chance. Which team it is, who knows?
All right. Well, that's good. Thank you, Alan, so much for coming on with us. We got about a minute left here. I just want to say thanks. Make sure to listen to Alan on the NFL Standard on the Thursday night college football blitz. If you're alone on a Thursday night and you hate the NFL, the college football broadcast like I do, go ahead and listen to Alan because he's awesome. Also, check him out. What's the radio say? 1060 AM. Is that correct?
Yeah, 1060 AM WMEL here in Central Florida. And thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Alan. We really appreciate it. And follow him at Vlot Sports, okay? Thanks, Alan. We appreciate it. Okay, Mike, just a few more seconds to go. We want to remind everyone to follow the show on Twitter at AssignmentFball. Also, you can follow Mike at Mastrolio123 and myself at DuckManForReal. You can also read my stuff on cover32.com/cowboys. And tomorrow you can read my first ever column for thelandryhat.com. Mike, my love to Sue and the girls. Anything you want to say?
Same to you, buddy. Love to the family. Good luck to Cheyenne with this end of the semester starting to creep up on her. And, you know, big week in the NFL. I'm really, really looking forward to these games today. We've got some awesome, awesome games today. So
absolutely.
My couch is going to have a hole worn into it with me chilling.
Absolutely. I'm off to a wedding today, but other than that, I'm going to be watching some football before I go. But thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you again next week on Assignment Football right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Goodbye.